ball spark.
You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Friday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Talk about the college football weekend, high school football Friday night. We got Jess Moore in studio, the voice of the Merritt Oilers, to talk about, not only introduce him to you guys, but also the game tonight between Merritt and Mangum. Recap some softball, recap some football from last night as well. And, oh, hey, Jared, guess what?
What's that?
Another flag was just thrown on the Elk City Elks.
Oh, my goodness. Somebody, that has to be a record. It has to be a record.
I don't know who is going to be in charge of going back and clipping out highlights, but as they're doing it, clipping out the flags. And that's probably a week-long job.
What's that song is from the that old England comedy? Is that Benny Hill?
Benny Hill.
Yeah, I just feel like I want to do a highlight film of just the flags with that music behind it, with the video sped up. Especially that one sequence in the third quarter where it took them forever, where all five flags were on the field and could not figure out what is going on. Somebody got thrown out, but who? What team? Why did Elk City get another flag when they were told to go to the sideline? They didn't have enough time to go to the sideline. Oh, man, I was so dizzy after last night.
If you thought the 51-minute first quarter was slow, you should have tuned into the 1 hour and 8-minute third quarter. Craziness.
I don't know. What do you think the chances are OU Tulane might
100%
be,
it's faster.
Shorter? Yeah.
100% it's
faster.
Faster
game. Than that thing we saw last
week. Let's think. Okay, so you said the broadcast itself was 4 hours and what?
9 minutes.
9 minutes?
Yes.
So that means you take 30 away. That means it was a 3 hour, 39 minute game. It's going to be close.
Wow.
Going to be close.
You know, we have a lot of friends that are officials. I'd love to get their opinion on it.
We'll talk about it.
I'm not trying. It's a fine line. Listen, we can't sit here and start bashing.
It wasn't just their fault.
No, it wasn't. No. There's other factors involved.
It was not just their fault. There's no doubt about that.
But my goodness, that
game. We'll talk about it here coming up when we
And you were jokingly saying
talk about the game.
We might get back from Guymon quicker. I'm starting to believe that.
I don't think it was a joke.
As we got closer to home, I was thinking, we might actually get back.
I rolled into the house at 1:35.
Yeah.
By the way, we got a little present for you after we get done here. I was still in the vehicle, mainly Gabe and I.
Is it all the equipment I got to unload?
Yeah, we're going to all have to do that as a team, I guess.
Because we're going to use some of that for the gas remote, so leave it in there.
What I meant to say is, guess what, Jared? Present for you. You don't have to load as much stuff. Joining us is the voice of the Oilers, Jess Moore. Jess, welcome into the studio.
Aaron, Jared, it's great to be here. Thank you so much for having me, guys, tonight.
Absolutely. So, hey, tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get into this craziness that's Paragon TV and Merritt football?
You know what? It's been something that I've been wanting to do for quite a time and everything. I've been broadcasting for college for, years ago, and it was just my life took me in a different direction. So my wife was just listening to the radio one day, and she says, hey, you know, they're looking for a sportscaster. You might want to look into that and everything. So
stop right there.
Yes.
She heard the ad on the radio.
Yes.
Okay, continue.
Yes.
Be sure to point that out.
I just want to point it out that radio ads actually do work.
It pays off. You know what?
Thank you.
It pays off. After that, I came in, spoke with Gabe and everything, and the rest has been history. And I'm excited to be here and honored that y'all are giving me a chance to do this.
So you talked about doing some broadcasting. What is your background? Tell us about, you know, I know you went to Southwestern. Tell everybody about how all that came about. To get you to this point?
Well, I went to Southwestern. I was not in any condition when I first started to think about that I was going to do anything that was related to broadcasting or communications at that matter and everything. I stumbled into the theater over there and auditioned for one of their shows, and the director over there, Steve Strickler, he just absolutely loved my audition. I was shocked that he did. So I started with that, continued building up that with my classes and everything, and then I just stuck with communication. I didn't do a whole lot of broadcasting on air, but I did do stuff that was in room, in classes and everything. So that was just something where I was like, man, I feel like this is where I want to be in my life. And it just feels like home to me, being behind a microphone.
A calling. I completely get you right there. Totally understand. Sports-wise, when you get into the broadcasting as you are right now, is sports your calling too? Ready to... I mean, that excites you, and do you have a...
You know what?
Are you a fan of the sports?
That's what I am.
I'm asking.
I absolutely am. And you know what? I didn't get into sports until later in life and everything. I did play a lot of football growing up. I played for Burns Flat and graduated from there. I was there when they were still an eight-man team. So we did have a lot of times that we went up against Merritt and everything. But I know they're a great team. They've got a great support over there, great fans and everything. So I'm looking forward to working with them there. It was a lot of things that I was like, I had no idea when I was first starting for football how to play the game. I didn't know the basic concepts and everything. Thankfully, I had a great coach. Zach and Joe Oliver were over there at Burns Flat. They gave me a lot of advice. They were really just supportive and everything, and was doing great. In my senior year of football, I was like, man, finally I get to get some snaps under me. And the second day of practice, I dislocated my shoulder, and that was the end of my career. But with sports, I mean, I love football. It's my favorite sport of all time and everything. I just love it. Basketball, hockey. I'm one of the few people around that likes hockey out here, I would think. So
we like hockey. We like playoff hockey.
So that keeps it a little more interesting and everything. But no, I'm just, and it's a small town football. There's something about it that's just,
absolutely.
You don't see that kind of atmosphere anywhere else.
That and wait till basketball season.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So tell us a little bit about the Merritt Oilers coming into this season with Mangum on tap tonight at Merritt.
Well, from what I've seen, Coach Richardson, he's fantastic and everything. I've got to meet him. I've met Jeff Doherty. He's amazing superintendent. He's also the girls' high school basketball coach. Team looks solid, real good. Merritt's got a good team. They're a young team. But that's a good thing, I think, because that gives them some time. Like you said last night at the Elk game, you got some time to get these guys to grow throughout for the next couple years and everything. So a lot of freshmen on that team, a lot of sophomores that are going to be starting. Hayden Justice is coming back. You got Zach Carr. There's a few more that I know are coming back. I'm still kind of learning their starters as I go. But main thing is just it seems like they're going to be a good whole lineup. Of course, this will be – last year they did not get a win against Mangum, and I think the year before that as well. So
yeah, Mangum's a tough out.
Yeah, they definitely are. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do tonight and everything. They also got a new special teams coordinator. So we're going to see how he does and everything and where that takes them this season.
Did you say you had a chance to talk to Coach Richardson?
I did. I've talked to him for a few times. Again, great guy and everything. He's excited. I'm excited. Just everybody's excited for this tonight. I'm sure he's pumped up for tonight and everything and ready to go. So
tell everybody what time everything gets kicked off tonight out at Merritt.
Kickoff is going to be at 7 o'clock tonight, and then we're going to have pregame about 6:30. Like I said, just give me some time. I'll get these to it. First game jitters. We're always nervous and everything.
Hey, we've been doing it. Aaron's been doing football for years, and even the first game of every year – we get the jitters.
Yeah.
You know, it's just an exciting – I just think it's just, you know, the anticipation of a new season and the excitement of it and getting it going again happens to all of us. But that's the key word is exciting.
It's absolutely
an exciting season ahead of us. And we're looking forward to having it. I mean, we're glad to have you. Looking forward to your call tonight.
Absolutely. I'll look forward to it, guys. Great to be here. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, Jess. Now, go do whatever Sean's making you do at the last minute. And trust me.
Yeah, thanks for coming in, Hunter.
The good news here is, though, it's 9:18 a.m. instead of 5:18 p.m. So he's actually giving you more hours than you normally get on an assignment like he just gave you when he walked in.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
You betcha. That's Jess Moore, the new voice of the Merritt Oilers. listen tonight or watch tonight on ParagonTV.com, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock kick. And then also you can hear that right here on these airwaves on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. And as I was about to remind everyone out there listening about the Western Oklahoma Realty College Pick'em Contest, as I was looking at my piece of paper and the group, the group size grew by one.
That's crazy. That's
43
awesome. It's
of
the biggest
you
we've
there.
Ever had it. 43 now.
That's what she said.
That, oh, my. Oh, my goodness, Aaron.
Maybe delirious from the
I think to, so. From the clue, a little to, loose with our tongues here. I tell you what, the 50th person that signs up, let's do this. The 50th person that signs up has a chance to win prizes just like everybody else if they play. So,
you've got a 3-month golf passport if you're number 50.
Really?
How will we know?
Well, I guess by that's is the it question. Put in alphabetical order or is it put in by? Because I mean, I should be at the top. I just signed my up as Atha.
No, you're down the way there.
See, I'm wondering if it was by order of signing.
Order
up.
Of sign up? No, I don't think that's right either.
Well, I don't think we'll go. But that 50th person has a chance.
50th person has
just
a chance
like the
to
first
win,
person.
Like the other 49. West Oklahoma Realty, people before property, helping us out again with the college pick'em. It is against the spread. Don't forget that. It's against the spread picks. Season-long contest.
Like that 30-point spread for OU, that's big. It's
do
still
they
30?
Have they changed? They don't change on this, do they? Because I think they
it's
give
moved,
you.
It's moved.
Yeah, but not on the contest.
So the spread's locked in at what, when it opens?
Yes, I think so. So 24.5.
Oh, okay. Okay. Just okay.
Yeah, I think it gets you an opening line, and then you know, we'll follow it throughout the week. Might be some good opportunities to middle if you could lock in the first pick on the contest and then whatever the line moves to. Like, for instance, Oklahoma. You could take Oklahoma minus 24.5. The line's out above 30. You could take Tulane plus 32.5, and if OU wins by 27, bam, two winners.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's a couple ways to sign up. One is go to the ESPN website, search the fantasy group, or fantasy game, college pick'em, and then the group is The Skinny on Sports. You've got about 24 hours, 25 and a half hours to be exact, before the 11 o'clock kicks, both in Norman and also in Madison, Wisconsin. I know those are a couple of the 11 o'clock games that are in the list of selections this week. So, still time, but not a whole bunch of time, to come play along with us all year long. The College Pick'em presented by Western Oklahoma Realty. Tyler, Harrison, Robbie, Allen, the rest of the gang down at Western Oklahoma Realty. Thanks so much for being along with us again. Okay, so a couple of things happened yesterday. One, Elkett softball went to Tuttle and put up one heck of a fight against the district-leading Tuttle Lady Tigers. Unfortunately, the Elkettes end up falling 3-1. Actually had runners on second and third with two out in the last inning, but were unable to push a run across. But Elk City remains solo second in the district at 4-2 in district play, 15-5 overall. It's about halfway through the district schedule. They've got Cash coming up on Tuesday, Woodward and Anadarko at the end of the week and the first of the next week. So, you know, those are some games. If you look back at the results, Elk City beat Cash 8-1 this week. So maybe a chance to kind of solidify where they're at in second with that game at Weatherford looming, which could possibly be the determining factor in who ends up second in District 4A1. Elkettes beat Weatherford over there 3-2 back in toward the end of August. So, man, what a great season. Coach Caleb Murray, all the gals, have done fantastic work this season, and it's good to see. And I know, you know, what we had in here this summer with Lou and with Aubrey that are just now in junior high, not even on the high school team yet. Coach Murray's got a lot to look forward to throughout the years, not only to finish this year, but then kind of got them stacked in there. So Elkett softball doing a fantastic job on the fast pitch diamond this fall. Now to the football game last night. It was a weird one, man. I don't know how else to really describe it other than just a weird, weird game. In the early going, it did look like the Elks maybe were a little bit flat to start. I mean, when you turn it over on your first offensive possession, maybe it looks like that no matter what anyway.
Yeah.
You know, just because of the way things happen. So, you know, we throw an interception, and then next thing you know, Southeast hits a long one, and it's 7-0, and we're kind of looking around going, what just happened? Then the Elks settled in, played well throughout the end of the first quarter, most of the second, really. It was 24-7. Kraus runs it in from 5 yards. You think it's 31-7, and the route is on, and then that penalty gets called on a hold. Backs Elk City up, and they end up getting a field goal blocked. Southeast takes advantage of numerous defensive penalties on the next possession, scores a touchdown. It's 24-13. Then they pick up a fumble, run it down to the one, score another one right before the half. And you look up and you're like, man, it's 24-21 at halftime. What in the hell just happened? I thought this was a snoozer, and now it's a three-point game.
Yeah.
Second half, the Elks dominated. I thought one of the biggest plays of the game was the one ejection of Michael Graham Jr., the starting quarterback for Southeast.
Well, that was big.
That was a huge. Yeah. That was just a huge turn of events for them because, unfortunately, the guys behind him were young and didn't have the arm strength to throw the balls over the top like they were trying to. And like I said, Cooper Patton's interception was a huge play in that game to kind of stop any type of momentum that Southeast thought they had. And the Elks went down, scored a touchdown. Then Southeast goes for it on their own 5-yard line. The Elks stopped that. Next thing you know, it's a 17-point game, and Elk City's cruising in the second half. But lots of things to be proud of for sure, but there's a ton of stuff to work on as well.
And I you know, I said last week too, the mistakes, I'm a little optimistic here, but I like to look at mistakes as stuff to work on. So you know what to work on. It's still just game two. We just finished game two. It's still technically just week one. So plenty of time to fix those mistakes, work on getting better. And, you know, kudos to the Big Elks because you said it last night was such a weird game. It was hard to find rhythm and momentum and all that stuff because of the stoppage of play for whatever reason. And they still were able to put 50-plus on this team thanks in large part by Day-Day Thompson's effort. That's the thing about a running back is when they can start feeling it, there's a rhythm to it. And all that aside, what I talked about, it didn't look like it affected him at all.
No, and the offensive line was really good for the most part. On run blocking, there were some pass protection issues. And a big problem is 99. What was his name? David Rowai, I think, or however you say it, that last name. He was a monster there, kind of in the middle of the second quarter. It felt like every time the Elks went to drop back, he was just right in Corey's hip pocket immediately.
Yeah, he didn't have a lot of time. Yeah. He even tried two-step stuff and two-step drops. And he was right there. I mean, it was hardly any time for him. So, but thank goodness the running game was established because the passing game, because of that, not by Corey's fault, but because of the monster in the middle, it was hard to get anything going right there.
Yeah, it was. It was just a choppy game. And listen, there was tons of penalties, and some of that's everyone gets some blame for that. The guys on the field. Player-wise, not adjusting to what was happening. I'm not going to say a lack of discipline. Just kind of got baited into the style that was being played out there. And you know, then it starts, and if you're an official, like you said last night driving home, you call it once, you feel like you have to call it every time on certain things. And then
it's like a strike zone. You call a strike in the lower corner, you got to call it every time.
And then you get to the point where you feel – I mean, those guys out there in the black and white had to feel – like maybe they were losing a little bit of control of what was happening. So then what do? You throw flags, you try to get things under control that way.
Right.
And it just never really got much flow back until, you know, the game was kind of decided in the fourth quarter, which is, you know, you see games like that sometimes, though, where it just nothing really works out. So all in all, though, like you said, Thompson, a school record individual, single game rushing record of 387 yards by my tally, which I started thinking about this on the drive over. You know, you hate to get that wrong. Hey, congratulations, you broke the record. Oh, Aaron's a terrible statistician.
We had some pretty good sources to know what that number would be.
Yeah, I'm talking about what his number was.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You hate to add extra,
okay.
Or you know. Okay. But anyway, so right now I'm going to go ahead and just, you know, no reason to go back and dig it up. 387, bam, that's the record now.
Yeah.
You talked about him. He mentioned in the pregame interview in game one how much work he had put in and how he felt stronger, how he felt faster. I don't think there's any doubt when you watch, you know, the second half touchdown run, the 56-yarder. There was a burst there as he hit the hole and then got into the second level. There was a crease and he was through it.
Yes.
And not getting tracked down. You know, just that kind of that. Remember how when you're in fifth grade or sixth grade and you shot those rockets off?
Mm-hmm.
And there was like two stages to him, and the first one would go up pretty fast, and then about the time it stalled, boom, it'd shoot off again. That's what he reminded me on that run. He burst through the first hole, had some daylight, and then got north and south or east and west last night with the way that field faced, and he was just sayonara. And he does look a lot – he just looks a step faster than he was last year. He's stronger, doesn't go down, I don't think. I don't have the stat sheet in front of me. I don't believe – he had a negative carry last night. Everything was positive for Daylon all night long. And, of course, if a guy's running that hard and running for that many yards, you've got to give credit to the dudes up front.
Yes.
And so the offensive line, we've seen that now twice in the second halves of these games where that offensive line just dominated against Pampa, only throwing one pass. Last night, I think they dropped back to pass the one time in the second half, but it ended up being a penalty where Corey threw it to Drake. You know, down near the goal line, right?
Yes.
And so,
yeah.
And I think a penalty ended up happening, and that play may have not accounted. But anyway, when you can impose your will like that, offensive line wise, you talk about a rhythm with the running back. I think those guys get a huge rhythm as well.
Agreed.
As they get to going and going and going.
Agreed. We talk about how running backs get stronger throughout the game. Good running backs do, and Day-Day has certainly showed that the last two games. But so does an offensive line. The first two games. They have not looked tired in the fourth quarter. We've seen that before where they're getting pushed back, and they're still taking the fight there in the fourth quarter and establishing that will up front. That goes to great conditioning in the offseason. I think they've taken care of themselves. They put in that extra time. It's starting to show on the field.
Yeah, no doubt. And the second half of the games
that's something we kind of harped on. We said, guys, we can say it all we want. The coaches can – mandate all this stuff, you know, get in the locker room at this time and all this stuff, but it's the individual workouts, it's the want to, and I think that was there this offseason. I think there was a conceded effort to get stronger, get better.
Yeah, and you can see it, and the truth of it is they're older kids too. I mean, you're naturally going to get stronger because you're not 15, you're 18.
And with that comes maturity too.
That's right.
To understand, listen, this is my last year, and I'm not going to be a pansy out there. I'm going to get out there. I'm going to work.
And so, it's once again, just kind of like it was in the first game, I think this is another one of those wins where, yeah, there's lots of things to point out positive. There's also things to be able to coach before heading to Guymon next Friday. So it's kind of one of those little bit of a best-case scenario for coaches in the non-district.
Yeah.
You can build them up, you can tear them down, and then you can build them back up again. All kind of in the same mold. So
yes.
Elks 2-0. Gosh, we'll have to look back. First time.
Ask that question. When's the last time they've started 2-0?
I would guess 2016.
A chance to start 3-0.
I can't remember how that season went.
I'm telling you, folks, it's an exciting time right now for Big Elk football this season. If you're not watching, you need to be. You need to be paying attention. Either tune in to Big Elk TV or come on out to the games. And we have a feeling it's going to be a lot of people tuning in to Big Elk TV next week.
Yeah, 2017. Frederick and Woodward then lost to Altus in game three.
Okay.
To go back to 3-0, I'll have to get in the record books. It may have been a while. But yeah, 2-0 with wins over Pampa and Southeast Guymon coming up next Friday night. Now, talked about Merritt with Jess earlier and their opener against Mangum. Tough opener for Merritt. Historically, Mangum's kind of one of those teams that's always a varying degree of good, but always pretty good and sometimes really good. So that'll be a tough one there. In the Elks district, Altus at Cash, with Cash coming off a win over El Reno. Altus was just drubbed by Chickasha. One would think that the Bulldogs of Cash – the Red Bulldogs would have a pretty good chance to knock off the Blue ones. I'm interested in the game over in Weatherford.
Kingfisher.
Weatherford versus Kingfisher. That was game was down to the wire last year. I think a one-point Eagles win with Kingfisher going for two or throwing into the end zone to win.
Yeah.
Down there at the end. I'm really, really anxious to see what happens over there.
Yeah, me too, because how Elk City scrimmaged against Kingfisher, that raised some eyebrows. Kingfisher still ranked, what, 5-6 in that range in 3A. Weatherford, they're at the 7 spot in 4A, but they still it's still Weatherford. So, yeah, that is intriguing to me. It's a one of those early season games, first game for both of them, that can answer a lot of questions about these teams. You know, can Weatherford defend their district title? Can Kingfisher get back to the way Kingfisher was or has been in the past? That's very intriguing to me.
Yeah, Clinton goes up to Woodward. That's another one that they'll keep an eye on, obviously, with the Red Tornadoes and the Boomers. Clinton coming off a state runner-up performance last year. Lost some guys, but have a bunch of guys back as well. What is your sense that you get from kind of any of the sources you've got over there at Clinton?
As far as the season as a whole, mm-hmm. A lot of excitement is from what I've heard. A lot of excitement starts with the quarterback. That you know usually starts with the running back, but it sounds like it's going to be running back by committee, which is what everyone's kind of gravitating towards, anyways. But it starts with the quarterback, As I say, it starts with the quarterback. He is just as dynamic on the other side as a linebacker. And so the defense, I think, might be one of the best in 4A because it was last year. They got all the way to the finals because of that defense. So there's a lot of excitement, a lot of anticipation, and I think it's been like that in Clinton for a while.
Only about 75 years.
Well, my point is –
100.
Now, I say last title was 12. And that's a long drought right now for Clinton.
Are you guys okay over there?
I'm not over there. I'm in Canute.
Do you think they're okay over there? Only one and
I think
won
last
since 12.
Year was a satisfying year for them to get get to the final because they realized, okay, we're taking these steps. You know, they made a couple semifinals in years before that. And they're saying we're taking these steps and reestablishing the continue to tradition motto. And they're trying to get back to that to the very top of 4A. So a lot of anticipation. We'll see how there are some changes there as far as running back. I think that's the biggest question mark for me is running back. Typically there's a one guy that you circle and go, that's going to be their running back. And they always plug in a guy that's just a monster on the ground. What I'm reading and hearing is it sounds like more like running back by committee, rotating them in, keeping fresh legs. Stuff like that. They got a big line, so I don't think that's a bad idea too.
Yeah, and I do think the one thing that you mentioned about defense, that can get you through some of the questions as you try to answer them on offense.
It's true.
You know, you're not going to give up a ton of points, and so you've got some time to work everything out. And then if everything gels immediately, bam, you're off and running. Because Clinton does play great, that great a defense, that certainly helps out. The one thing I'm interested in, you talk about running back, it's that guy, but on the other side. Because Atrell Bryson made up for so many mistakes in the back end.
Just
because he was so good. He was so fast. Everyone knew him as a running back, but his safety play was off the charts, man. He was everywhere from the line of scrimmage to 40 yards back. And I honestly think that Clinton will miss him more on that side than they do on the offensive side. You know, because it feels like they kind of find a guy that can run it. Some are better than others. There's no doubt about that. But they always have somebody that can get yards and churn out yards in the backfield. Mm-hmm. But that man, him as a safety was really something to watch as the way that he flew around there in the back end.
Yeah, he was a good
of
one.
The defense.
Yes, he was a good one. But we'll see. It should be interesting. I mean. You know, with Clinton and what we mentioned Weatherford, what we're seeing right here in Elk City, I think 4A is more wide open than what people think.
Yeah, Bethany there. Interested to see their result tonight against John Marshall.
Yeah.
Coming off that win against Jones, maybe Jones was a little bit overrated in 3A than what people thought. We'll see what they can do against John Marshall. Elsewhere, got Thomas at Alva. Terriers coming off a loss to Watonga last week. See if they can bounce back. Alva was just pummeled by Kingfisher. So one would assume, even though you're stepping up a class, that that would be one that you ought, that Thomas would probably come away with a win. Burns Flat, Deal City versus Carnegie. You've also got Cordell and Rush Springs, CBA, Kremlin Hillsdale. Hobart at Watonga. Watonga, as I said, beat Thomas. Hobart, maybe not surprised they lost to Fairview, but certainly by the margin. So we'll see how the Bearcats bounce back. Hollis and Temple. Got Mountain View Godibo, what, number three in Class C?
Yes.
At Schneider. Sayre and OCA. I'll have a full report on the Eagles coming up on Tuesday as I'll be over there watching the Eagles versus OCA. Anything else statewide? Obviously, the Titanic matchup
That's the big one.
Is Bixby and Jinx.
Yeah, that one I've already marked on Scordle to tell me what the score is going to be every time. I'm interested in that one. But yeah, all the local ones are really of my interest. We've mentioned them all. Yeah, the big one, Norman North, was last night. Heritage Hall whipped up on Millwood last night. Those are some big ones throughout the state. Yeah, but the big one, the game of the week, if there was one, is Jinx and Bixby.
Yeah, Jinx Bixby, it's a long winning streak for Bixby on the line. And you know a team with the tradition and the pride of Jinx, nothing they would love more. To kind of slapping that down a year ahead of Bixby being in 6A1. Mm-hmm. And just a little reminder, hey boys.
Yeah, this is our class.
This is still
our
Jinx.
It's still Jinx.
Still the Trojans.
Yeah.
And what do the kids say? We run this show? Probably not.
I don't know.
I don't think they say that at all.
It's lit. I don't know.
It's lit up in here.
It's it's hot in her.
Our house.
No, wait, that's a few years back. Our house.
Welcome to my house.
Yeah.
That's a cool song.
We are so old. By the way, I figured out the last time Elk City went 3-0 to start the year.
I'm going
to
guess 2010.
Close. 2011.
Dang.
They started 5-0. Wins over Alva, Weatherford, in this order. Alva, Weatherford. Beckham Weatherford was in 3A. Alva, Weatherford, El Reno, Cash, Guymon, then lost their next four.
All right, 2011.
I think
that was also the last year that they had made the playoffs in back-to-back years.
Okay.
Missed it by a year. 2011. Here we go. Here's a guy that was there.
10 years ago.
Ediger off the top rope. Why has he got to make fun of my singing? I was just joking around.
Listen, Ediger, we can't sing all like your Allstate kids that you train there. Okay? You do a masterful job with those kids.
It's kind of like picking on the...
Yeah, exactly. Like Jim and Mark.
Yeah, kind of like picking on the guy that's not in shape. Hey, listen, I'll send you... never mind, I'm going to say that on the air. Anyhow, there's a certain point in life where people sing better than others. Some people maybe can belt it out in the shower better than they can.
I am the best singer in my truck on the way to work.
There's two places a lot of people would say.
I'm a rock star in my truck.
Either
on the
in
way
the
to
shower
work.
Or in the car singing along.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how much I sound like Jason Aldean in the car or in the shower.
This morning,
buddy.
I was the lead singer of Offspring on the way to work because I needed something to really wake me up after last night. I needed some high octane rock music.
Glad that Justin's listening. I'm sure. Yeah. Matter of fact, he was there for that 2011 season. He could have answered that question for us.
I bet he was there.
At the 5-0 start for the Elks. So 2-0 for Elk City with the win over Southeast last night. Guymon coming up Friday and all those games. By the way, don't forget Merritt Mangum tonight right here on these airwaves. 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock kick for the Oilers and Mangum. Also, you can watch that one on ParagonTV.com. High school football. Here's the deal. It's funny because Elk City's played two games. They've won two games. And quite honestly, today feels like the kickoff of high school football.
Yeah.
It's the Friday before Labor Day.
Yeah, Labor Day weekend. That's right. Yeah. I'm with you. Because we got a full – starting last night. We had football last night. with the Big Elks. We got Merritt tonight. OU, OSU tomorrow. We got games on Sunday.
Notre Dame, Florida State, Louisville,
Monday.
Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Hey, honey.
Let's go.
Honey, guess what? Last night was the first night of five in a row with college football on TV.
And well, technically, there's UAB and was it Jacksonville State?
Yeah, that was on Wednesday. Was it on TV?
Yes, it was.
Oh, there you go.
I was watching some of it. Yeah.
No wonder I'm getting to take a trip to the city on Saturday. I'm sure it's for my health, so I don't just sit on the couch all weekend long, eat chips, and not be very mobile.
And even during, I'll probably see the kickoff of the OU game from the lovely gas venue.
That's right, the KCO Rolling Radio Show, 10 o'clock till the parade is over at gas.
Yep.
No fun be had there.
Oh, no. They don't have a good time.
They don't have
there.
A good time at all. It's
no.
unfortunate. All right. Nick Archer's getting dunked. Rocky Andreessen's getting dunked. Jay McClure is getting dunked. And also Zach Maynard is getting dunked there at gas.
I feel like that's 11. If they ask you to be in the dunk tank, is that like, hey, listen, a lot of people don't like you, so we're going to put you in the dunk tank.
No comment. Moving on.
Or is it a lot of people like you and you can talk good trash to these people who are throwing the balls?
I'll tell you what. J-Mac could be – he's going to do one of two things. He's going to hurt somebody's feelings talking trash that's throwing it, or he's just going to sit there like a bump on the log. I can't wait to see which. Don't forget, just about 24 hours away from the start of the college pick'em, the Western Oklahoma Realty College pick'em, 44, as we were jabbering about, we had another entry, 44, making our way to 50. Season-long contest, great prize package, free to enter.
I didn't think anybody listened to our show.
But apparently, a lot of
people do.
Maybe so.
Thank you to everybody. That's
great. It's going to be a fun time.
That'll make a fun season.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
All season long. Picks against the spread. Don't forget that. Don't just pick winners. And then when we come in here on Tuesday, we get a bunch of texts of, hey, that team won. Well, guess what? They didn't win by enough. Just keep that in your mind. Picking against the spread-a-rooski. All right, college football this weekend. State schools get going. Actually, I guess last night. What happened to Tulsa? Didn't they play last night?
Not a clue.
What are you doing, Jared?
Well, I'm sorry. I don't have Tulsa's record.
Almost like you were busy.
Well, you got me interested in the other. You're looking up Sarah stuff.
Lost.
They lost. Okay.
Lost. The Canes. The Golden Hurricanes. See, that's
who'd
weird.
They play?
Just a second. Efferding. Oh, man. They played.
They took
UC Davis, 1917. Wait a minute. UC Davis. Are they?
UC Davis, is that a?
They used to be a lower division team.
Wow, that's not a good look for Tulsa.
They're in the Big Sky Conference.
Who, according to?
Eastern Washington and that group. Pat Jones had them
according
only.
According to Coach Jones.
Having a good chance to beat OSU.
Yeah, apparently they're going to give OSU the run for their money. Don't think so.
Whew. Well, if that does happen, either they laid an egg.
What practice did he go to at Tulsa? It made him think.
They had everybody back but Zaven Collins.
Well, that just shows you how good Zaven Collins is or was at Tulsa. Is at Arizona now.
The dream has officially been crushed, Jared.
What's that?
Your all-white unis on Owen Field has been crushed.
No!
Traditional home unis, it would appear. The OU football account tweeted out the traditional home unis for the Sooners. All right, let's talk about OU and OSU right quick, and then we'll get around the country. That's right. Tulsa had six starters out because of the fight against Mississippi State at their bowl game last year.
You know
that's
what?
Exactly
that came
right.
to mind because the other day, for some reason.
Thank you, Bill.
For some reason, I think it was ESPNU or CBS Sports decided to replay that game. I'm like, why rehash that memory?
That's
Surely
right.
they cut it off at the end of the game. They didn't show that stuff. And then I started thinking, wait a minute. Aren't players going to be suspended to start the season?
That's right.
So who's Mississippi State open with? Because you know they've had a ton of players. Surely they had some players not dismissed, but suspended.
Yeah, that's a great point. They weren't on that list on our pick'em contest.
No.
Because if they were, that might be something to consider.
And they play in the Southeast.
Oh, you're going. We need that book Gabe was talking about.
Yes, we do.
Last night, just to open up to it. Boom, I'm there. Louisiana Tech.
Oh, well, I say that should be.
All right, so Oklahoma. OU and OSU. Give me a guy on each side of the football that you are excited to see that you really hadn't seen a ton of for Oklahoma and for Oklahoma State.
Do they have to be returning players?
They can be or they don't have to be.
Okay.
Just a guy you're excited to see that you hadn't really seen.
Bowman, OU.
Billy Bowman.
Keep hearing that all these, and I don't know what side he's going
to
be on.
No, he's starting nickelback according to the depth chart.
Okay. And returning.
Kickoffs.
Apparently this guy is athletic as they get. I'm excited to see it. That's my guy.
Let's see. That's defense. You have one on offense?
You know, we kind of mentioned it on the drive yesterday. We know how good he is, and if he's 100% healthy, I'm anxious to see Stogner back. You know, it felt like towards the end of the season we didn't get 100% Stogner, even when he came back from the injury. I mean, that who wrote an article? Was it Barry Trammell? That kind of detailed.
Yeah, it was Blevins had it.
Oh, Blevins, yes, Blev. That's kind of an easy answer. You know, Mims is an easy answer.
Got a vote for Eric Gray on the text line.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I mean, the preseason hype for Mario Williams is off the charts offensively. Bowman is the easy answer on defense for me.
Yeah.
But also Clayton Smith and maybe NRK. Nathan Rawlings Kabanga, the like 6'8", defensive end, raw as can be, recruited true freshman. Sometimes those guys turn into monsters, and sometimes those guys never figure out how to play football. Got a Kennedy Brooks. Hey, you know what? That's a good one.
That's actually a good one.
Out of year.
Any rust?
I think Bowman is the guy on defense. It's going to be fun in the return game. OSU-wise, I know this almost doesn't feel like – oh, I don't know. This doesn't feel like almost a cop-out answer, but the truth is we didn't see him until the last game, and that's Presley. I want to see what Presley can do for the whole year. I mean, he had a breakout bowl game with 3 touchdowns, and then you're kind of looking around going, why didn't this happen all year long? Where was he all year long, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think Brennan Presley is a guy, and then Blaine Green, I think, is the other receiver, the true freshman, one of the twins that's getting a lot of hype. Also coming into the season. So those guys, for me, on the OSU side of things, are the guys that I'm ready to see a lot more of Brennan Presley and then see what Green can do.
Man, can I say any running back? Because any running back that stepped in for Chuba Hubbard last season showed a lot of potential. Is that a fair answer? And it feels like
I think outside of LD Brown. I mean, we've seen – quite a bit of LD Brown over the years. But those other three, Jackson was good in the TCU game maybe, or no, it was a home game where he ran wild against maybe it was Tech. And then Richardson was good. You know, all those guys back had 100 yards, and none of them were the starting running back going into the season. Yeah, Jackson was against Tech with 235. Richardson had 169 against Baylor in a win. Brown had 110 against Kansas State. So those guys, I think that's a good answer. It's pretty crazy the difference in that position between those two, between OU and OSU. You know, you kind of got so many at OSU. Is it just a ride the hot hand situation each game? How do you get everybody carries and keep them happy? At OU, you pray that they get up after every time they get tackled because there's only two guys on scholarship left.
Yeah, that's going to be a hold-your-breath moment all year long.
Defensively, there's some buzz about this guy, and I'm anxious to see if he's going to get on the field or not as a true freshman, and that is Colin Oliver. Defensive end from Edmond Santa Fe. Where have we heard this before? Kind of an overlooked, lightly recruited defensive end out of Edmond Santa Fe. that went to Oklahoma State and burst on the scene as, oh yeah, that's right, Trace Ford. We've seen this story before from that same high school. And so Colin Oliver is a guy that I'm anxious to see how much he gets on the field, if he gets on the field, and then what he can do from kind of that just pass rushing spot on the OSU defense.
Does Mike Gundy have like an orange phone inside the Edmund Santa Fe head coach's office that he just picks up and calls? See, like he's always a ton of guys from Santa Fe go to OSU.
Outside of Reggie Smith, I can't think of anybody that
right
didn't.
Sounds like a nice pipeline right there.
All right, around the country, which
game? I want to throw in a bonus on the offense. Josh Seals is a guy I like a lot. You know, the grad transfer from West Virginia. I think he can help out a lot. Will help out. Has helped out.
Around the country, if you got to just watch one game, which one would you watch?
Easy. Georgia Clemson, yeah. Yeah.
Can I say something?
No, you can't.
That might be a little.
It's your show.
That might be a little controversial.
Yeah, sure.
I don't think that's.
We love that.
I don't think that's the most important game of the weekend.
Okay.
Because I think either one of those two teams can absorb this loss and move on.
I gotcha.
To me, the game that's not the case is 11 a.m. tomorrow up in Madison, Wisconsin, with Penn State, Wisconsin.
Yeah, I probably should have answered that since I'm picking Wisconsin.
I think that's the most important game of the weekend.
Yeah, like that's a good point.
For those teams.
Yes.
Now, I'm not watching that one. You know the one I would almost pick over UGA and Clemson? Almost. Just because I'm so curious about what's going to happen.
Florida State, Notre Dame.
Nope.
Who?
Louisiana versus Texas. I am so curious what we're going to see.
That's true.
Because there's part of me that thinks we're about to see Texas come out and just blow the doors off of Louisiana and the hype train will get rolling down the tracks.
No matter what happens, the overreaction statements will be huge.
Oh, there it is. We ask and we receive the book.
Hey, one more minute left to go on the show. We got the book.
Well, it's for the NFL anyway, so we'll start talking about that next week.
Awesome.
By the way, I know everybody's picking this and so it probably won't happen, but upset alert. I think there's an upset alert out in the Rose Bowl in Pasadena. If I was the Bayou Bengals, I would be a little bit of trepidation.
I'd love to see it.
A little trepidation.
But LSU is a little better than Hawaii.
Are we sure?
Yes.
Were they last year?
Yes.
Were they?
Yeah, come on.
I almost picked LSU as the most overrated team. Almost.
And who'd you pick?
Notre Dame.
Oh.
I'm kind of regretting that choice.
Yeah, that's. I would have picked LSU over Notre Dame as being the most overrated.
Problem is, LSU can lose the three games that they play against teams with a pulse, and they'll still be ranked like 24th. So how overrated can they end up?
Yeah.
They'd have to do something really stupid. Which?
You know, a question we should have had, I know we're out of time, with our college football, I guess, preview yesterday was what coach is losing their job or who has the hottest seat? And I think Coach O is on that hot seat right now.
Oh, there's the easy answer for number one on that list.
Harbaugh.
Nope.
Frost.
Scott Frost.
Not too frosty.
Scott Frost is like that meme you see with the dog at the computer and the house is on fire. Except for that's his seat and not the roof of the house.
Yeah, everything's fine.
Everything's fine. Don't worry about it. I don't know why my bum is so hot here. Merritt Mangum tonight. Everybody have a great week, and we'll be back Tuesday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.